I'm not so sure but this mic's working that well, so I am going to preach from here. Well, grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, what is in a name? I gave you a little history about myself, and my first congregation was St. Martin Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. I was an associate there. I don't think there's another St. Martin around, and it isn't about Martin Luther. There's a St. Martin of the Fields, maybe. I was never quite sure who the St. Martin was, but in 1981, I had the opportunity to go to a community south of Houston and start a congregation. And that's a privilege. It's exciting. And I thought this great name for a congregation came from, and actually I first heard a congregation called this in Durham, North Carolina. And I thought, what a great name, because it has this theological concept as the name. And as you know, I was still pretty theologically nerdy back then. And so I, with the permission of my bishop, named the congregation in League City, Texas, Christus Victor. And it means Christ the Victor. It's, seems pretty self-explanatory, but you spend a lot of time explaining that name to people. So then in 1984, I came to Columbia and met with Bishop Cauble. And I had three names. Actually, I had four. But the first one was, I loved this. This was a church in Austin, Texas that had successful ministry. And it was called Triumphant Love. Dan Colander was the name of the pastor. It was just this great church. And so I said to Dr. Cauble, I said, how about Triumphant Love? Okay, what else you got? Okay. I always liked Gloria Day, kind of Latin-y though, as is Christus Victor, but I always liked the sound, Gloria Day, and there wasn't another one in the synod, and he said, okay, what else you got? So then I said, hey, how about this? I was being a funny guy. I said, the Blessed Mary Ever Virgin Lutheran Church. It'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? He didn't even smile. He did not smile. So then I went back to my, it seemed kind of corny to start two in a row, but I said, how about Christus Victor? And he said, I like it, and that was it. So the church in Harbison became Christus Victor, and I was there for 12 years. Now, there's a little bit of history about that congregation that in 77 or so, a pastor developer came and tried to start a congregation out in the Harbison community, and it just wasn't the right time. And so by 1982, they had shut it down. And then Harbison turned around, and they felt like they could bring a new developer back in. And so I was contacted if I'd be interested. And I said, yes, but only if I get to start it new. No. And I'm not going to. And he said, fine. That I could do that. And so it became Christus Victor. In 96, I had the opportunity to start a new mission church. By the way, I was interviewing at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church downtown, me and this other guy, a classmate of mine from Chicago. What was his name? Oh, Herman Yost. And they came to me and asked me if I would be willing to go to Bluffton, and I said yes. And so I had to get to pick another church name. And what I did was, the mission church that never made it in Harbison was called Lord of Life. And so I honored that congregation because there wasn't another one in the synod. And that's how that church became Lord of Life. So that brings me to something more relevant to all of you, which is there anyone here when this congregation was named back in 1950, Good Shepherd? And I've just had that senior moment. Oh, Harold Park, I have my notes here. Harold Park was the pastor developer. So I wondered what was on his mind when he named this congregation, Good Shepherd. And it's a great name, don't you think? It's a great name for a church. And it has a lot of good things, because when I looked at the lessons today, I say, great, I'm preaching a Good Shepherd on their Sunday of the church year. This is Good Shepherd Sunday. It has some of your favorite readings. Our psalm is the 23rd psalm. And so what is in a name? No one asks you how to spell it, although I bet you that more than half the people spell shepherd wrong. It's not like Alan Shepard, the astronaut. It's like the shepherd of the sheep. Shepherd. So, but it is a terrific name. And as you take a look at it, it is one of those names that shows the very agrarian, the very rural character of the church. Here is Jesus in this text recorded by John talking about what a shepherd does. How many of you have any experience with sheep? Okay. They're not bright animals, but they're cordial. Now, I was raised in Lancaster, Pennsylvania by a man who was born in Manhattan. My father was a New Yorker, said chocolate. But he spoke English, so his mother didn't. She was Hungarian. But he didn't know much about farming, and yet here we were with this multiple-acre farm behind our house. And my best friend in elementary school was Pete Rohrer. There's a Lancaster County name, Pete Rohrer. And his father owned one of the largest farms in Lancaster County. They were Mennonite, and I just mentioned that because he farmed with mules. Now, it's not the same as Amish, but it's getting closer than I ever will be. And so I knew a little bit about the farm life. For one, they eat their big meal at noon. I always liked that. I got two big meals that day. When I ate lunch with Pete, it meant I was getting dinner in the middle of the day. Supper was always meager. But the point is that in Jesus' day, everyone understood this reference, and they knew what it would mean. Next week, we're going to have another agrarian reference, and I'll be here for that. It has to deal with grapes. There's a little promo for next week. But the idea of a good shepherd versus the hired hand, the good shepherd cares about the sheep. The good shepherd leads the sheep. But one of the things we have to understand about leadership, and it goes hand in hand with shepherding, is that with sheep, you have to gain people their trust. And once they know you and they know you care about them, you can lead them. But you don't lead them by going 50 yards down and whistling to them like a dog. Sheep gather around the shepherd, and then the shepherd moves them where they need to be, fresh water, new grass. And there's this emphasis on the shepherd who keeps them in surroundings that they aren't easily attacked. Basically, good shepherding means keeping them from danger. And while they aren't the most keen animals, they do understand where they are cared for and where they are treated well. Well, when we as a congregation in this place, Good Shepherd, you have a sense that you are a congregation, but over the years from Harold Park through Larry Long through Paul Wallner with a bishop thrown there in the middle, that you've been shepherded. You've been brought together and kept together as a congregation. But you are the sheep. We all are. It isn't necessarily a compliment. Sheep can do some pretty stupid things. One of the things about being referred to as a sheep, though, is that there is an emphasis on following a good leader. And sheep, though, aren't willful. No, you show them that you're reliable, they'll follow you anywhere. it doesn't necessarily follow with human beings. I don't think that sheepish is a word that would describe the human being. Not very often, anyhow. And for those who are sheepish, it is usually not a compliment. Not a compliment at all. And yet, in our gospel message in its entirety, in this message of Jesus as the Good Shepherd, there is contained within that the emphasis on following He who is the Good Shepherd. So in your name is that we are Good Shepherd as a people. We are existing to follow the Good Shepherd. And that's a really good emphasis. That's why it's such a great name for a congregation. Unfortunately, we always run into, no matter where we are, no matter what the congregational name is, we run into the fact that we often, not only are we willful, but human beings are wantful. There's lots of things we don't want to do. There are things that come natural to being a human being, whether it be prejudice, self-interest. And we have all those things out there which are drawing our attention elsewhere. You know, social media. Now, I'm on Facebook for one reason, because I was threatened in 2008 by my daughter who said, "Want to see pictures of your granddaughter? Get on Facebook." So I did. Guess what? My daughter doesn't post. Fortunately, my son-in-law does, but he mostly posts on Instagram. Does anyone know what Instagram is? I'm at the end. If there's anything I don't want to do, that I'm a won't person, it's deal with any more social media. I'm not on Twitter. I hate it. I'm not on LinkedIn because I'm out of the business, so to speak. And I really don't care that much. But there are things we do need to be connected to. And on this Good Shepherd Sunday, whether we're a Good Shepherd congregation, or we're a Christus Victor, or a Lord of Life, or a St. Martin Houston, or a Reformation Columbia, we are all challenged to allow ourselves to be shepherded by the Good Shepherd. In other words, to follow where He leads. And to give up some of our willfulness and our wantfulness in order to be true servants. In our second lesson today, make sure that that's right, from 1 John, he talks about what is important for the new Christians. And yes, they believe in Jesus. Yes, that's important. But you believe in Jesus not just by holding on to an idea. You believe in Jesus by doing what Jesus did. And it's like I said to Delaney, you do that by serving. You do that by reaching out. You served this morning by rescuing our acolyte who couldn't get a candlelit. That happens all the time, by the way. Where candles are notoriously a pain in the neck. And the taller they are, the more difficult. I once saw a Christmas wreath catch fire on Christmas Eve. It's the end of Advent. It had the greens in it. This was 1977. And I watched the ushers just stand there and watch it burn. They didn't want to interrupt. Finally, the pastor went into the sacristy and got one of those CO2 fire extinguishers. Our challenge, whether you be a good shepherd or any of those others, is to follow our shepherd's lead in doing a ministry to outcast people, to people who don't have what they need to survive. You know, more important than, you know, being able to recite a creedal formula is being able to touch other people with the love of God in what, not just what we say, but also in what we do. Jesus leads us to be servants. And Becky went over this morning a few of the things that you are doing. Just remember that in this time of Well, you feel like you're on hold. Everybody left. Don't take it personally. It happens. And when a pastor leaves, of course, Chris had to leave. Chris, right? Had to leave. You know, it just kind of goes with the territory. It's kind of a jumping off point. But this congregation has a wonderful history. And you still have a leader. First of all, you have great lay leadership. But Jesus Christ is our leader. And he leads us down the path of righteousness. And it's a path which finds people in need and does what one can to meet that need. On this Good Shepherd Sunday, I praise the name. You should rejoice in the name. You should rejoice in being part of this community called Good Shepherd. You should embrace the idea that in being the Good Shepherd congregation, you have had good leadership. You know what to do. You continue to have good leadership, and you will get new ordained leadership, perhaps a year from now, with, you know, whatever length of time that takes. But your leader is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who calls us to be like sheep. Not necessarily stupid, but obedient. Obedient to a life which reaches out to the hurt and those who are suffering and in need, and does what one can as an individual in your daily life, as a congregation in your corporate life. Sometimes we balk because the world is a big place and it has a lot of problems. But we are called to somehow be different, to make a difference in this world. And we do so not by looking at a compass, but looking to our Lord Jesus as the one who is leading us into the world to be the loving arms of God in that world. May we embrace that idea on this Good Shepherd Sunday, and for you as a congregation, every Sunday and every day of your lives. Amen.